Let's go way back in time. Clear, fresh water laps the edges of the rocky shore. A heron flies right over your head. Flapping, it heads eastward towards the great, lush marshes that line the coast. Now you can see dozens of figures in canoes coming into view. Iroquois paddling across Lake Ontario from New York. Neutral, Seneca, Mohawk, Cayuga, they disembark and set up camp. Communities all along the lake's edge. You smell the smoke of the fires, hear them crackle. Time passes and newcomers float down the lake, setting up a post to trade the bounty from the north. They claim and carve out a large territory. Upper Canada. A loud grumble shakes the ground. The smell of gunpowder. This very spot where you stand is the fort that protects the new capital. You look down at the water's edge by which you once stood, but it has disappeared. Then comes the railway. Rubble crashes in to fill the lake that's getting further and further away. Now the roads, the elevated highway, the memory of the heron so close overhead and the water lapping your feet is fading. And the people keep coming, thousands of them, crammed into buildings, piled high, soaring upward into the sky. They crowd you and bring their noise and their light. You're dizzy, disoriented, confused. Where am I?
Fort York is one of Toronto's most iconic historical landmarks. It is both well known and underappreciated. Most have heard of it, but few have been to it. And that's one of the reasons we're here today. Hi, friends.
Hi.
Hi.
Why are we talking about Fort York?
Well, the core of the fort itself has mostly been preserved. Its fringes, its edges, have been in constant flux since the late 1700s. It's rich in forgotten history, but it's fallen into disrepair. It's really making the edges of the fort ripe for redevelopment and allowing them to become spaces that allow the fort to be reconnected to its contemporary context.
Right. We were all kind of helping to guide a course last September.
Right, so we taught a course at the University of Toronto's Master of Landscape Architecture program, and it was called Fluid Fort York, and the students proposed fluid landscapes for the edges of Fort York.
So what's a fluid landscape?
Well, a fluid landscape is a landscape that has the ability to really connect with a lot of different factors. So it has the ability to channel the rich history of the site, but also it has the ability to evolve and change due to external factors like changes in society, community, changes in history. So it's a landscape that really has the ability to accommodate a large range of changes, which is perfect for Fort York given how much history has happened on the site and how much the site has changed and is changing still today.
What are the stories supposed to do?
So the stories for the students was really kind of a way to get their foot in the door in the design process. It was a way for them to come up with a narrative for the site that would then help guide them through their projects during the entire semester.
Each of the stories you're about to hear exposes a different side of Fort York. Some quirky, some grim, some preserved, and some forgotten. We're hoping that each story allows you to reimagine the fort as it was and as it can be. In this episode, we're holding down the fort.
I'm Marissa Bernstein.
I'm Nicholas Kahn.
And I'm Danielle Davis. And this is Cities Alive, bringing the city to life with stories.
It was 6:50 a.m. on a cold fall morning. I planned to make this quick and as painless as possible. I had run through several mental maps on the fastest route to follow that would take the least time so I could be out of there in a flash. as I walked hastily towards the Bathurst Bridge, wanting every minute to count, I was startled by the sound of birds. Really? Are they up this early? Are they in this part of the city? I had totally forgotten about them. I slowed down and tried to locate where the sound was coming from. The sound of the TTC streetcar made it a little difficult to trace the direction. I waited patiently for it to pass, then I spotted them, up on the utility lines, flying back and forth happily. There was another chirping sound on the opposite side of the road. Pigeons on the roof of a residential building. I snapped a few photos and hurried on, not willing to let a few birds distract me from my project. I passed a couple walking solemnly to the TTC bus stop. I didn't blame them. I didn't feel like talking or being there either. Finally, I was at the Bathurst Bridge, keenly looking for a strategic position to take a few photographs of the fort from an elevated angle. Again, there was bustling chirpings from the bridge of what sounded like a northern mockingbird. Really? On a bridge? I couldn't help asking myself. Peering up at the old steel beams that supported the bridge, I tried to locate the birds. The sound of several GO trains to and from Union Station made it a little difficult. It was no use. I couldn't see them. But that did not seem to stop them. They chirped away over the urban sounds of trains, cars, construction, and people walking. These birds had somehow remained resilient despite the fragmentation of their habitat by the built infrastructure. They had now turned the bridges, fences, highway columns, and buildings into their new habitat for perching and nesting, and continued their quiet orchestra despite the busyness around them. Can Fort York enhance the existing bird habitat? Maybe the birds really are my project, I thought to myself.
Insert loud boom. We are standing in the place where the Grand Magazine exploded. The tree at the top of the slope shows where it could have happened. At the edge of Fort York, just west of Bathurst Street and beneath the Gardiner Expressway, imagine the traffic noise to be the sound of water. Our feet would be getting wet because back then, the fort fronted Lake Ontario and the mouth of Garrison Creek. In the spring of 1813, a year into the war declared between the British and the United States, American fleets were sighted on the lake, slowly approaching the shore. They landed west of here and made their way on foot. And soon after, the fort was seized by strong numbers that pushed the native allies, militia, and British army to retreat. While retreating, the Grand Magazine holding the British gunpowder was detonated. Maybe by the British themselves to prevent looting. The explosive impact was felt across the lake, killing and wounding soldiers 180 meters away. The damage spurred the Americans to burn government buildings and take revenge on civilians of the town of York. This violence led to the infamous British retaliation of setting the White House aflame. Today, evidence of the battle scars have been erased. The crater lies concealed. The rough slopes of the original lakeshore have been smoothed out by infill and a carpet of green grass. The creek that bordered the fort is encased and buried, only revealed through plaques labeled Garrison Creek embedded in sidewalks around the city. The ravine where soldiers sought refuge is cut by rail tracks and cleared of trees. These fascinating stories have been put out of sight and out of mind for most Torontonians. My project sees Fort York as an open-air museum. When encountered, the landscape is designed to tell stories of the battle. It also creates new ways for people to enjoy the fort. Igniting history enriches how we perceive and experience our own city.
The Ordovician period. Those were magnificent days. The planet was warm and wet. The oceans towered high above the tallest buildings of today, and I floated graciously through the deep seas. It was a delight to be among such richness and diversity. Even the most fantastical and famous sea creatures knew my name. I was in my prime. Tragically, everything changed. As the currents grew colder and the sea levels dropped, the great underwater mountains I had once scaled began to disappear. I searched for refuge, but was trapped in shallow ponds until eventually all of the water was gone. Paralyzed, I lay in the mud amidst the rotting carcasses of my friends as the darkness descended and the world froze over. I remained there, powerless, for 400 million years until the bedrock around me began to crumble. The sun was shining and I finally felt warm again. I was in a place called Fort York. Before I knew it, the peculiar creatures extracting me from the ground were consuming me and spitting me out. Apparently, they had been expecting to find something a little fresher. In 1962, I met the grounds of Fort York once again. Only this time, it was surrounded by an ever-growing sea of concrete and asphalt. Every year since, as if in a life sentence, I am loaded into this obnoxious machinery in the dead of winter and tossed around as though I am disposable. Me, who once dominated the oceans, exploited as I am, I take some pleasure knowing that unlike the many fragile creatures I have known, my existence on this universe will be as eternal as the universe itself. I am one of its founding fathers, and I will float again. I am Salty Waters.
It's likely been a while since you've considered the water cycle. Maybe in elementary school, or perhaps more recently? The same water recycled within Earth's atmosphere in all sorts of forms. Freshwater, saltwater, liquid, vapor, solid. Over and over and over again. It's no surprise then that water has all sorts of stories to tell. Water has seen many changes, in a manner of speaking, and has quite a long history. The name of the city, Toronto, quite literally has its roots in water. You've probably heard of Toronto as meaning a place of meeting. Some current historians claim this to be incorrect, saying that the city actually got its name from a Mohawk word, meaning where there are trees standing in the water. The waterfront itself has also made a southward migration. In the mid-1800s, with the coming of the railroads and industries needing access to water for things like transportation and manufacturing, wharves were added and the shore was gradually built out. The lakefront was quite shallow, which allowed for this reclamation of land. At Fort York, this has resulted in almost a kilometer of land being added. It will now take you a few minutes of walking to get to the water's edge. So now, if you visit Fort York on a drizzly day, taking shelter under the overpass beside the fort, maybe dodging the flows from the highway's downspouts, you may perhaps recall that water wasn't always in this form at Fort York. Some hundreds of years ago, in that very spot, you'd be standing in Lake Ontario. And no doubt, the city and its water will continue to change.
Fort York is a place where we can be aware and feel alive as we are confronted with a collection of sensory experience. As one walks through the seemingly static place, one is continuously presented with motion. This motion is entirely the city, its infrastructure, its inhabitants, its ecology, its growth, its history, and its present day. We can hear it, we can see it, we can smell it, and we can touch it. How can we amplify moments of time in space, where we can be all-encompassed in a sense, smell, sound, sight, touch? In its unprogrammed state, Fort York is a place where one finds and loses oneself constantly. One is disoriented, and then one finds orientation. One finds orientation, and then one is disoriented. Like a compass that always finds north, our senses somehow strive for their equilibrium. My journey begins as I am taken up into the trees, immersed in their soft movement and soothed by their sound. I stop, I look, I become the trees, I feel their safety. I sigh and I continue. From peace, I'm taken to absolute disorientation, standing on the platform that overlooks the GO trains, alongside the overwhelming visual noise, accompanied by the power of the speed and literal sound. I forgive the city for all the times its noise has troubled me. For now, I finally understand it.
Been listening to Cities Alive, the podcast. This episode was created and produced by Marissa Bernstein, Nicholas Koff, co-founders of Projectcity, Jordan Omond, and me, Danielle Davis. And
my name is Kari Kitawi.
Grace Yeh is my name.
Carla Lipkin.
Jonathan Koff.
And Megan Burke and Rue Felix. This episode was a collaboration between the University of Toronto's John H. Daniels Faculty of Architecture, Landscape, and Design, Projectcity, and Cities Alive, the podcast. See all of the students' design proposals for Fort York at fluidfortyork.projectcity.com.